Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. As I alluded to this morning, as we are closing the service, we are going to preach a message tonight is declare his glory by forgiving. Declare his glory by forgiving. You know, at the beginning of the year, when the Lord lays a theme upon your heart, there's different things you want to speak about, different stories, different things that come to mind, and that you don't always get to all of them. But this is one of the things that I think really, truly honors the Lord, and one of the things that actually, truly, you see God in people's lives when they're willing to forgive. I think about some of the great stories in the Bible about forgiveness. And I think about how, you know, obviously Jesus forgiving our sins, an amazing story that is, but him being on that cross and saying, Father, forgive them. And I think about the story about the prodigal son in the book of Luke. We're going to be coming up here probably in a few months to that prodigal son story, and you see the father, and you see the forgiveness of the father, and all you can do is think about the forgiveness of God, and you praise him for it. A couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we preached about how Daniel declared the glory of God and how he got others to declare God's glory too. And I teach the same lesson to the teenagers on their scavenger hunt activity. It's the idea, how can we get not only we declare his glory, but cause others to declare the glory of God? And you know what? The way we can do that is by acting like him, letting people see God in their lives. That's when you got that verse, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I think about that story, and I think about the story of the prodigal son, and the son came back, and the father, which is a picture of forgiveness, and obviously that's a parable, so it's a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. It's a earthly meaning, earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but it's a representation of the father himself. And that's when we forgive others, you know what's going to happen? People are going to see Christ in us. People are going to see God in us. And I think about the story about Joseph and his brothers. You know, they thought that when their father had died, he was just being respectful and kind to the father, that they came and said to Joseph, you know, Joseph, our father, before they died, said he wanted to make sure you weren't going to punish us. And you know, what does Joseph do? He says, am I in the place of God? He forgives. So they see something that is not in themselves. They see something that they believe that you're going to punish them when you have something on someone, or when you hold some type of something over someone. They feel like you're going to be able to launch out at them, and you forgive them. You know what they see? They see God in you. And the Bible tells us forgiving one another. And God wants us to forgive. I think about that story with the woman that's taken in adultery, and that group is there, and that group is getting ready to stone her, and they ask Jesus what he thinks. And remember when he begins writing in the sand and shows, you know, we don't know exactly what was written down. People speculate what that is, and everyone left, and how she was forgiven. I think about in Luke chapter number 7, how we know that woman that came to that Pharisee's house when Jesus was eating, and she was weeping, and she talked about how she kissed his feet and how she was washing his feet with her tears, and talked about how much she loved because of how much she was forgiven. And as I think about my own life, I contemplated, meditated, whatever, mused, whatever you call it. And I thought about the different times when I see God working in people's lives. And the different times I've seen God in people. There are different times. It's not just forgiveness. I've seen God work in people's life when they show compassion. When we really do not have any other interest in helping someone else besides feeling their hurt, feeling their pain, and being moved by the Spirit of God to help someone. I see God in people's lives like that. I see when people show acts of kindness to others that really don't deserve it, that compassion. I see God. But one of the things I've seen that can help heal families and heal relationships and heals people's broken hearts is when someone is willing to forgive another person. And this is not just something that we're just tacking on into a sermon to try to fill out what Declare His Glory is talking about. This is something God wants us to do. Bible says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. He says we're supposed to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. We're supposed to, the way that God forgives us for Christ's sake, we're supposed to also forgive others for his sake. And when we look at the story tonight, it's going to be talking about the unforgiving servant, just for a little bit. And there's just a couple really simple thoughts tonight. But just for those that maybe have not been here for a little while, it's been a little while since we talked about declaring his glory on a Sunday night, a couple things we talked about with this theme. Declare means to make known, to tell explicitly, to manifest or communicate plainly to others, which means we want no one else to misunderstand us. We are declaring plainly and explicitly. We are broadcasting a message that we want everyone else to get. We want to communicate it plainly. We don't want anybody to misunderstand what we're trying to say. We want to declare the glory of God with our lives. That word glory can be called magnificence. You can't see the magnificence of God in any greater way than you consider his forgiveness for our sins. The splendor of God. The beauty of God. And you can see nature, you can see creation, and you can be in all of it. But when you see the fact that he has forgiven us for our sins, that is just magnificent. That's beauty. That's beauty. You don't see that splendor in any other greater way than you see it in his redemptive work for us. The word glory can also be praise, ascribed in adoration, honor. You know, so we're trying to declare, make known, to manifest, to declare plainly, manifest and communicate plainly what? The magnificence and beauty and splendor of God that deserves our praise, that deserves our honor, and that deserves our glory. How in the world can we do that? Because we don't act like ourselves, we act like God the Father. How do we do that? One of the ways we do that greater than any other way is when we learn to forgive. And you're going to see in the story tonight, that the story about the unforgiving servant, that he did not declare God's glory by forgiving. And in the end, he was tormented because of it. And I believe many times in our own Christian lives, when we have an unforgiving spirit, a bitterness in our heart, you know what happens? We are tormented by those issues. We're tormented by those things. So there's going to be three things tonight, but let's go ahead and look at the story first, and let's look at these three simple thoughts, declaring his glory by forgiving. We're going to start in chapter number 18, and we're going to start in verse number 1. That's not where the main part of the message is, but in verse number 1 sets the scene of where we're coming from. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" We see this on a couple of different occasions. They were worried about that. Can you imagine those kind of fighting amongst one another? You know, Peter's one that always talks. Judas gets to hold the money. You know, there's different people. John is the one that probably has that special close relationship with Jesus. They're talking amongst one another. Who's going to be the one that sits next to Jesus? Who's going to be this? And who's, you know, they're wondering about who's going to be greatest. And then he begins talking, and he talks about being humble. And he talks about having things that are right in the church. This passage of scripture talks about having aught against your brother. And this, in verse number 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." You know, it's different things about being right inside the church. It's different things about forgiveness. And then in verse number 21, we see Peter interrupting. He does that a lot. We notice that in Luke a couple times. And he says things. And he says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Don't you think it's great when someone asks you a question and they think they know the answer and they don't even give you a chance to answer it? And it happens to me lots of times. I'm sure I do it to people. You know, I go and say, "Is it, you know, what is it that you want?" And then I turn around and say, "Is this what you want?" instead of giving them a chance to answer. And so I think Peter here is kind of, he's hearing Jesus. He's talking, Jesus is talking about being humble. Jesus is talking about how you should behave in the house of God and the church when it becomes the forgiveness. And so he says seven times. He's making himself look good. He thinks that Jesus is going to say maybe two or three. But he's saying, "Look, I'm going to be high and mighty. Is it seven times? You know, you take, you know, two times, you're three times is, but if you times three by two and, you know, you got seven, that's a really great number." And look at Jesus' response. He says, I say not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven. He says, if you're good at multiplying things, multiply that. And no, it's not supposed to keep track in a day 490 times and say, I don't have to forgive you anymore. Thankfully that God doesn't do that, because I'm sure that 490 number would have been done a long time ago for many of us. But he's saying that you continue on. So it's God's desire that we continue on forgiving. Let's keep on going. Let's go ahead and read this parable, and we'll give a little commentary on it. And then we got three simple thoughts tonight that I think will help you. But I want you to think in your mind, in your heart, does people see God in me? And do they see God in me because I'm willing to forgive when someone offends me? Look what it says in verse number 23. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. So there's a king, once again, that's bringing people into a judgment. He's calling people to be in account for their what they've done. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents would probably be millions and millions of dollars. And upon that, so it's an unpayable debt. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So he says, okay, because you owe me this debt, you're going to have to try to pay this debt back by reselling you and selling your family into slavery. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he's saying, please show me mercy. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant, so he was forgiven the debt. Can you imagine how much that must have felt like? How good that must have felt like? And you can imagine that you can see God in this story, because this is a representation of the kingdom. And you see that. And he goes and he says to him, that same servant, what does he do? He forgets what God's done for him. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is not very much at all. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Can you picture that? This guy comes up for just a few dollars and grabs a hold of him and then grabs him by the throat. And what does he say to him? And saying, pay me that thou owest. Does he have a right to have that money? Yes, he does. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And you know, it's very similar to what is said earlier. Verse number 30, and he would not. Now the king had, we'll use millions of dollars as the illustration here, forgiven that debt, and this guy could not even be willing to give up the little bit that he owed. He would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, I see that other people are involved in this. The fellow servants are watching what happens. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, it disturbed them. And that would disturb us too, wouldn't it? I know it disturbs me that they disturbed him. And his fellow servants saw what was done. They were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? An amazing thought here. He's telling him, after all the compassion I showed you, should you not do that to others? And that's where we come to that verse in Ephesians 4:32. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, we should be willing to forgive others because God was willing to forgive us. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you. Lord, what a wonderful thought that we can be like you. What a wonderful opportunity we have to declare your glory. Lord, I pray that we catch an image or a picture of this, And we desire to be like you, even though sometimes it's going to be tough, and even though sometimes it's going to be difficult, and even though sometimes it's going to seem impossible, as we rely on your Spirit, help teach us this lesson that you do want us to forgive. And in this forgiveness, Lord, we will show Christ to others. Lord, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for offering that salvation to us and that confession that we can make to you. You will cleanse us still, even today. Help us tonight. Lord, let some relationships be helped tonight. Maybe some areas that we need to offer forgiveness to somebody. Maybe some things that we've been holding back in our hearts for a long time. Lord, help mend some things tonight. Lord, do a work tonight to help us want to show the world Christ in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to think about this. The Lord had compassion, and he loosed him, and it says forgave him. We see here in this story that the Lord had forgiven him, and I honestly believe that in our lives, if we truly want to declare glory, God's glory, if we truly want people to see God in us, we must learn to forgive. There's been some times in my life when people have truly done something to me that was really wrong. And they've done things to me, and they've come up to me, and they've asked for forgiveness. And, you know, on a few occasions, I forgave them. And I'm not trying to brag, because I'm going to get to the point where I had to ask for forgiveness. And I could see from their heart and from their face and from their life, they were surprised that someone could forgive and forget so easily. Even one time, the person asked me, how in the world could you forgive like that? And I said, it's because I've been forgiven like that. Does that mean that the trespass or the hurt or the hardship, does it go away? No, the devil brings it up. It's just that we're not supposed to dwell on it. Does that mean that we're supposed to keep on bringing it up and bringing it up? That's not true forgiveness. And there's been many more times than when I've done it that I've had to go to somebody and say to somebody, I am sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry that I said this. Probably some people in this room that I've gone up to and said, because my mouth gets me in trouble sometimes. And I say, I didn't mean to be offensive. I didn't mean to, you know, I'll say, I'm sorry. And you know how much wonderful it makes a person feel when they are truly repentive and they are truly sorry for what they've done to hear someone say, you're forgiven. Don't even worry about it. Don't want to hear it again. I didn't even know you were trying to be offensive to me. There's three things I want you to see tonight, and it's a very simple and very easy sermon, and I think that you can get something from it if you let the Lord work on your heart. Number one thing is God wants us to forgive. Look what it says in verses 21 and 22. Peter is there. He's asking this question. He says, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And he says the seven times. And what does Jesus say? No, you're missing the whole point here. You're not keeping track. We're not supposed to be scorekeepers. We're supposed to be grace givers. And he's saying, not only are you supposed to forgive seven, but seven times 70. And then you look at that, you see that and say, really? That many times? How is that possible? And then we learn from God. We do it the same way that God forgives us as we disappoint him and fail him. Sometimes I think people do not think it's a God-given responsibility. Sometimes I think people think if you want to be super Christian and if you want to be really good Christian, you'll do that. Now, he says that there. He says, I want you to forgive. He says, I want you to be kind to people. I want you to be tenderhearted. I want you to be forgiving one to another. And he gives that example, and I'm so glad he finished up that verse. He knew what he was doing when he said, even as God, talking about God, for Christ's sake on the cross, hath forgiven you. It's the cross up there. The cross isn't even up there. And as he did it, he says, I look at what Jesus Christ did, and I'm able to forgive you for your sins because of the blood that was shed on that cross. I can forgive you your sins. Your price has been paid. And he says, and I want you to look at others, and when others offend you, when others trespass you, and when others do things to you, I want you to forgive them, not because they deserve it. It's because I told you to do it. Because I want you to do it. Second thing I want you to think about is not only God wants us to forgive, second thing is never get over the fact that God forgave you. Never get over the fact that God forgave you. When it says in verses 32 and 33, the wicked man goes and grabs a guy by the throat and throws him in jail. In verses 32 through 33, he is reasoning with this man, and a man that has a bitter spirit is really hard to reason with sometimes. It says in verse 32, "Then his Lord said, after that he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" You know what he did? He forgot what God or the master had done for him. He forgot it. He forgot it, and he refused to forgive. He refused to be patient. And this is a problem that we have in our lives, is that we get over the fact that Jesus Christ saved us. We get over the fact that we were sinners and we were lost and we are destined for a horrible place called hell. And if it was not for the grace of God, we'd probably be in a really, really bad spot. And when we forget that, we start comparing other people to ourselves, and we think we're a little bit better than they are, and we think that person doesn't deserve forgiveness, but in all reality, we're the ones that don't deserve forgiveness just as much as that person. Take your Bibles to Luke chapter number 7. In Luke chapter number 7, I like this story about this woman who, when Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house, she is an uninvited guest, but she comes anyway. And while she's there, she is, let's just read what the Bible says. It says in verse number 36 in Luke chapter 7, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that we would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat to meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, 'My microphone, Mr. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answering said unto him, 'Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee.' And he said, 'Master, say on.' And then he begins to give the story, similar to the other story. 'There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose that he to whom he forgave most.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast rightly judged.' And he turned to the woman." You can picture this in the story. He's surrounded by all these religious leaders, and there's this sinful woman sitting there who's weeping and anointing. And it says, he turns to the woman, and he said, "Simon, seest thou this woman? I enter into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, which was a common custom, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint." Once again, these are common things that you would do to a common courtesy. "But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." So in this story, and I love this story, and the fact that this, it says that this woman loved much. And what is the connection of why she loved much? It's because she understood that her sins were forgiven. She understood who Jesus was. She loved him because of what he was going to do for her. I tell you, if we do not get over the fact that Christ saved us, we will not have a problem to forgive sins. We will not have a problem forgiving others, because we remember the picture, he forgave me. Because he forgave me, I can forgive others. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." According to his grace, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You cannot forgive people without having them see Christ in you. When someone has offended you, when someone has hurt you, no matter how great it is, no matter how horrible it may be, when you forgive, you declare the glory of God. And it's important to understand that it declares his glory. But number three, not only does God want us to forgive, and never should we get over the fact that he forgave us. Number three is forgiveness will help us in our Christian walk. Forgiveness will help us in our Christian walk. In Ephesians chapter number 4, it says, and grieve not, and this verse is leading up to verse 32, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be to put away from you with all malice. He says, put all those things away from you. And then he says, do not have bitterness, do not have wrath, do not have anger, do not have clamor, do not have evil speaking. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. I contend to you that not only does the forgiveness declare the glory of God, it helps us in our Christian walk. Just as it said in verse number 34 in the original scriptures found in Matthew 18, it says, and the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. I've seen some people that have been at church that are godly people, that love people, that are hurt by this bitterness. They are tormented because of the fact they're not willing to forgive. I've seen people risk their ministries and risk their families because we know bitterness defiles many people because they're not willing to forgive. And they say the tormentors here, and I imagine how sometimes people hurt and sometimes people's relationships torment someone else. Unforgiveness will torment us. Unforgiveness will not declare the glory of God. Unforgiveness will declare our flesh, and that means more to us than our life of God. So, as we've done a couple of times, when we talk about declaring this glory series, what are you declaring in your life tonight? Now, he's told us in Matthew chapter 18, it's very simple. I really wanted to preach on the story about Joseph's brothers. That's a little bit cooler of a story. I like that story. And I like, he says, am I in the place of God? You know, God meant for good. And I wanted to say, you know what? We can forgive because God can take all things and work them together for good. I like the idea, you know, God sent me. You sold me. God sent me. There's a lot of great things in there in that passage of scripture that teaches us forgiving declares the glory of God. But in this story here, the Lord led me here, and I think part of the reason why was because it's so simple that he's saying, I want you to forgive, and not only do I want you to forgive, I want you to keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving because I forgave you, and because I forgave you, you can keep on forgiving, and if you do not forgive, you're going to be tormented by it. It's going to be something that's going to hold you back in your Christian life. When you hold that into your heart and hold that into your mind, you're not going to be able to progress forward. You're not going to be able to forget declaring his glory. You're going to have to figure out the way to get things right. In my life, I have a desire that this year, and obviously all the years, but especially to make known, to clearly, explicitly say, I want my life to represent the glory of God. I want to show the splendor of God and the beauty of God. How do we do that? We do that when we are willing to forgive other people. Yes, we do that when we're compassionate. That's a different. We went through that whole thing with Daniel. You know, he had the purpose in his heart. He wasn't going to declare God's glory until he purposed in his heart. He was going to give God the glory instead of giving the glory to himself. And Nebuchadnezzar was giving him the glory. He was going to tell him like it was. And he was going to keep on no matter the circumstances. Those are different ways to declare God's glory. But in my own personal life, there's two things that really speak to my heart and say, man, God worked that out. Number one, when God just out of the blue does something compassionate that you never had expected from them and you know it had to come from God, you're like, thank you for letting God work in your life. And number two, when I see someone who has been hurt, who has all the rights, who holds all the cards, has all the ability to put someone to shame, to make someone feel miserable, to make someone feel horrible, and they learn to forgive. Because that's what God does for us. He forgives us. Now, if we wanted to declare his glory and demonstrate his beauty and his splendor, we will forgive. Not because they deserve it, but just as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. Think about your relationships tonight. Is there something you're holding on to? And I know that in this room, there's a lot of people who love God and love the Bible, and they are probably the lesser of the evil. They're probably the ones that are, you know, when this is really bad, and they're just holding on to a little bit, and this person doesn't deserve forgiveness, but because you're a Christian, and because you're a believer, and because you want to do what's right, and because you want to declare his glory, you're the one that has to let us go. It doesn't seem fair. But then we go back to that cross, and we see him there, and we see him dying, and he gives us that example when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It didn't seem fair. And then he turns around and says, "I want you to do the same for others. Because when you do that, they're going to see me in you. They're not going to see your old fleshly attitude, your old fleshly mouth. They're not going to see those things. They're going to see God. And then they're not going to glorify you. They're going to glorify your Father, which is in heaven." God wants us to forgive. How do you do that? You never get over that he forgave you. And it's going to help you in your Christian walk. It's not just him telling you, you need to do this, you need to do this because I want you to. It's going to help you. Because the moment you forgive and you release on your own, everything else you do from that point, it's freedom. I'm going to love them because it's free, not because I have to. Because I've let go of that. I've forgiven those things. It's freedom in serving. It's freedom in loving. It's freedom in going forth. Everything I do is not based off the fact that trying to make somebody manipulate it. It's not because I'm trying to cause them to see how bad they are. It's because I want to declare the glory of God, and I'm just going to forgive. Tonight, declare his glory by forgiving. How many of us declare him through our relationships, those ruptured ones, those hard ones, by showing a heart of forgiveness? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.